You're listening to Academigig, Season 2, Episode 4. Academigig is a podcast for current and aspiring academic creatives, freelancers, and entrepreneurs. Along with every episode, we post show notes with links to resources mentioned in the episode and a full transcript. You can find these materials, sign up for our email list, and share your ideas for episode topics at academigig.com. Now, on to the episode.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Katie.
We're both jumping the gun today.
We are. We're excited. We're talking about CRMs and client relations, which is like the most exciting topic in the world.
Hey, we like our clients and the people in our audience. We love you. So we want to talk about how we talk to you.
Yes. Okay. So I can't help myself. I want to dive right into CRMs first. I've recently been engaging with a CRM. I'm a totally new user of it, but I am like such an evangelist now for CRMs. So maybe we should just start by like talking about what they are. And I can kind of walk through what are some of the basic features, and then we can dig in a little bit more.
So what does CRM stand for?
So we were just talking about this and we were like, what does it stand for? So I've heard it as like a customer relations management system or a client relations management system. But it's basically kind of a relational database, if you're familiar with that. And what else have you heard it called, Sarah?
I think those are the main ones. And I always bristle a little bit at the term because it just feels so cold and like, I don't know, corporate.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, it does come from that background. But I've also heard in nonprofits, I've heard donor management system. So for those of you working or who are aware of nonprofits, like there's a lot of donations that come in. And so you need a way to keep track of who those people are. When did you talk to them last? When did you last ask them for money? So that you're not kind of stepping on your own toes or each other's toes, you know, kind of making that relationship more uncomfortable than comfortable. So it's a tool for kind of keeping track of who your people are.
Well, and I think the thing that was kind of most surprising for me, and you might hear a little bit of clicking because I'm opening mine now just so when I talk about it, I have it in front of me. I wouldn't have necessarily thought I needed a CRM, like, because I'm not juggling, you know, in my mind, I was like, well, I'm not juggling that many clients, you know, like, I don't know that I need this. And then when I started using one, which was because in part I was looking for like a project management system to use with my business partner and project management, we looked at Basecamp and it just wasn't quite working for us. And I was like, well, what about a CRM? So we just kind of started looking around. And the one that I use is called Capsule. It was actually recommended to me by the coaching training that I'm going through right now. It's what they use. And once I started putting information into it, I was like, this is amazing. Like I'm totally sold on it. And let me talk about like some of the features of it and why it's been so helpful. So basically what you can do in a CRM is track a couple different things. One is who are the people that have inquired about services? And in my CRM, this is called opportunities. Who are the people who are possibilities within who are leads basically? And you can tag them in different ways. You can say, you know, and you can create these different systems, see our previous episode on systems, within your CRM to say, like, this is a speaking lead, this is a website client lead, or, you know, whatever different kinds of services you offer. And you can also kind of tag them at being at different levels. So, for example, if someone has just inquired, but you haven't, like, formally bid for their services yet, like you haven't given them a formal proposal, they might be at a certain level. Whereas if you've actually sent a proposal, they're at a slightly different level. And you can set up your sales pipeline so that you have kind of a forecast of the possible value of the services that are in your pipeline right now that, you know, like if you had 100% success with all the people who've inquired about your services, this is how much money you would bring in, you know, like in the next certain period of time. That is like, that's awesome for me because I have a lot of people who will inquire and, you know, I want to have a sense of like what's going on at any given quarter with my business and how much money, you know, do I have the potential of bringing in. But the other thing that my CRM does at least is it gives you like a value based on the milestone probability of somebody. So like if you have a new person who's just inquired, they give it like a 10% probability of actually what they call being won, which is like it gets converted into a sale. But if you've done a bid, which is basically like you've given them a formal proposal, then it jumps to like 50%. So it kind of allows you to see, like, you know, not just the wishful thinking of if all of this comes through, but, you know, like based on probability, what do you think is going to happen? So that's one side of it, is you have this thing where you can create these opportunities. And within the opportunities, you can also create like basically templates of what happens with that opportunity. So I can click in right now. For example, I have a speaking opportunity that I'm working with someone, and I can put them on a particular, what at least in my CRM is called a track. And I've created a track for if somebody inquires about speaking, where I respond to their inquiry email with a PDF, I schedule a call to discuss their event goals, we have the call, I create a proposal for them if they request it, I send them the proposal, I send a follow-up email, and then I potentially send a second follow-up email. And that should be all I need to do, basically, to get them to say yes or no. And then if I win that, if they say, yes, you know, I want to become, you know, I want to hire you for speaking, then I shift them into what in my CRM is called a case. And then they get a whole separate set of tasks assigned to them, because now I have to like book the travel and, you know, all those different kinds of things that go along with once I've actually booked a speaking gig. So it allows you to kind of take people through this pipeline of, you know, what's going on. And I guess the biggest thing for me is, once I wrote them all down and I saw how many people were in my pipeline, I was kind of shocked. Like, I didn't realize it because I was just juggling all these emails. But once I actually tracked it and was like, oh, I need to respond to so-and-so, like, I it was such a weight off my brain. So you can also create a bunch of tasks assigned, you know, to the different people. You can assign dates for the tasks. And then my CRM will email me each day and say, these are the tasks that are due today, or these are the tasks that are due this week. And I can go through and just make sure I'm kind of like following up with people and all of that. So the nice thing is you can create these tracks and templates where it's automated. And you can say, you know, once I've created the proposal for the event organizer, one day later, I want to send it to them. And 7 days after that, I want to send a follow-up email. So it all gets kind of automated within the system. So I'll stop there for now. There's so much more I could say. Like, you can tell.
There's so many things.
Yeah, there's so many things. And I'm just like so over the moon about this.
Yeah, it's funny. It like, I hear the excitement in your voice. And you know, I think that that's awesome that you have like this system that basically lets you kind of keep track of all those things. There's part of that seems really appealing to me. There's another part, and maybe there are other listeners out there who are feeling this way too, that like when you talk about all of these things, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed.
Right. Well, no. Yes. I mean, I had the same.
Yeah. But the reality is that like, setting this up ahead of time is actually creating less work for you on the back end and less chance for kind of missing something or dropping the ball on something. The one thing I will say, and this I have heard over and over and over again when we're talking about databases, which is basically what this is a database of your clients or your customers, is that the database is only as good as the people keeping it up, right? Like it can only be used if the data that's in the database is actually used, you know, kept to is on time, and that you're actually updating it and you're keeping it all clean and up to date. Right. So, you know, if doing that kind of process is not something that you find especially exciting, or that you think is something that you're going to be especially good at, I would say, you know, think hard about like how you want that system set up, because I think there are a lot of times we can get kind of sucked in from, oh, look at all the cool things it could do. And then when you try to merge that with the reality of your life, like if you're not able to kind of keep things moving, I'm speaking about myself more than anything, because I have this problem sometimes. If it doesn't fit into the flow of my work to go through and check through those things and do it in that way, I'm not going to do it. And so if you're like me out there and you're kind of like, I don't know if I could keep up, you know, that level of detail, also know that like you could probably, I'm guessing, Katie, you can answer this, but you could make it a little a little simpler if you needed to. Just have a few different things that you're like, okay, I want to check on this person. They're in my, you know, speaking clients pool, you know, and I can see maybe when I talk to them last because it syncs with my email or whatever. But you can make the database process as simple or as complex as you want. And I think that's worth noting as well, because it's exciting for some people and overwhelming for others.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, the thing that I would really encourage people to think about is, so I'm obviously a systems person. I'm a, you know, this is like my dream, but I had all of this in my head. Mm-hmm. So you're either going to have it in some kind of system outside of your head, or you're going to have it in your head. And right. It doesn't mean you have to use a CRM to get it out of your head, but I got to say, a CRM is pretty user-friendly if you're trying to figure this out. And it comes with like some templates and things already built in. Like I was able to figure this out relatively quickly. I mean, like we're talking, I took a weekend and did like a deep dive and like started putting people in here and like, and I made a couple mistakes here and there, but I eventually figured it out. And I can tell you right now, so my open cases, I have, what is it? I have 9 open cases that I'm currently working on right now. And this is everything from speaking events to website clients, coaching clients, website maintenance clients, you know, all these different kinds of things. And to be able to put it in here, and like, this is the other thing about systems. You have to trust them. You have to build them in such a way that you can trust them. And if you're not in here updating it, you can't trust it. You can't trust that it's going to tell you what you need. But I am in here updating it. And so it's actually more than one less thing that I need to think about, because I know this is going to trigger for me when I need to contact someone or when I need to send an invoice to them or whatever it might be. And yeah, it does take a little bit of time up front to set it up. And it would depend on your client load as well. But I have a pretty reasonable client load right now. I mean, like 9 open cases is not a lot compared to some businesses, but for me, it's a lot to juggle. That's 9 different, you know, calendar things that I'm trying to figure out. And there's a lot of tasks that go along with each of those to-do lists. So I don't know. I mean, I get the overwhelm piece, but also it's like the overwhelm is still in your brain if you're juggling a lot of this stuff, you know, so you have to find some kind of system to help yourself, you know, manage it in a way that works for you.
Right, right. Totally agree that one way or the other, it's going to be burdening you. And so if there's a way to find kind of a happy medium that works for you, like I hear you talking about all the different kind of layers and task lists and that sort of thing that you can build into your CRM. And for me, I think I would have trouble keeping all of that up to date, but I can conceive of a way that I would make a CRM process for myself that would be a little simpler, a little more straightforward, and that would fit seamlessly into my life and make my life easier. So I think the great thing about CRMs, right, is that you can kind of build them to do different things for you depending on what you need.
Yes. Well, and I think one of the things that has been the most useful for me with the CRM is I have templates built into it that I created. Like this did not just come with the CRM, but it has allowed me to, and they call it in this particular one, tracks. So when I sign a new coaching client, I just kind of literally do a drop-down menu and I add a track called 6-session coaching or 12-session coaching that I've pre-created. And it's a list of tasks that automatically go into my task management system for this. And it tells me what's coming up for this particular client. So for example, let me just give you a rundown so you can see like what I've done. When someone signs on with me, I have to create a coaching contract. I have to send them the coaching contract. I create a Google Drive space for that client because we take notes and things on their coaching. I schedule the first coaching session. When I get the signed contract from the client, I create their invoice. I send them the invoice. They pay the invoice. Then we have a set of our first coaching sessions. If they're on a 2-payment plan, I send them the second invoice. They pay the second invoice. Then we have our second set of coaching sessions. We discuss extending the coaching relationship when we get to the very end. And if they say yes, we continue on. If they say no, we close the relationship. I do a follow-up testimonial email and I do a 3-month check-in email. Now, these are all things that I have predetermined will happen with every single client that signs on with this coaching package with me. And it's automatically in here. I'm not going in and updating things other than to literally check off that things have happened.
Yeah.
So it really does go back to our systems conversation in that, you know, like if you have predetermined templates and kind of task lists and a series of things that you're running a client through, a CRM can really just help you track where you are. It's not necessarily about, you know, because I am not one of those people that likes to, like, I think a good example of this is the task management system Asana. I don't want to go into Asana and just create something to check it off. You know, like it, that to me is a waste of time. This is really a situation where it's too much for me to juggle in just my own to-do lists of the systems I've already created. And when it comes to to-do lists, I'm kind of a ninja. I mean, I use them all the time. I'm a huge like goal setting, tracking person. But being able to take this part of the business and contain it in the CRM, that has really been one of the big benefits for me.
I think you bring up a great point here that we talked about previously in the other systems episode, which is this idea of tension points. So what I hear you saying is that you recently kind of hit that tension point where it was like, oh man, I don't know. There's just a lot happening. There's a lot in my brain. I'm feeling maybe a little overwhelmed about it and not really sure, like want to make sure I'm actually doing all the things I've said I'm going to do or the things that I want to make sure I'm doing with all of my clients. Maybe a CRM would help me to do that. So it's a great solution for that tension point, right? It's a great way to kind of address that that point that you've reached in your business where it's just too much to keep in your head. For those of you who are like me, who maybe haven't hit that tension point yet, that's okay too. But I do think having some awareness about what a CRM might be able to provide for you in the future is a thing to keep on your radar, because once you hit that tension point, sometimes it can be really hard when you're in that moment of like, oh, this just feels icky. I don't know what to do about it. It can be really hard to try to problem solve and try to figure out how do I make this better. So even just being aware that like down the road, you know, you might need to be thinking about a CRM or that that might really help you to do your business better. I think that's a great thing to kind of keep in mind or keep in the back of your mind as you're moving forward. For me, I haven't really used much of a CRM. And so I don't, you know, I don't have a ton of experience with playing with them, but in previous work settings and that sort of thing, you know, I've played enough with databases to know they have incredible power in terms of keeping track of people and relationships and, you know, and what kind of information and data you can keep and gather on the people that you are working with, as well as, Katie, as you're emphasizing, the tasks and the things to do with these individual clients. So, you know, I certainly think a CRM is in my future. I don't know how soon it's going to be in my future, but again, kind of being aware of those tension points for you and your business and what things might be able to kind of alleviate those tension points, I think, is a part of the growth process.
The other trigger I think that's important to note is I really invested in this because I have a business partner. And there's a lot of the pieces of our business that he does not touch at all. Like, especially when I'm working with clients on coaching and stuff, like he doesn't even know when I have coaching appointments. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just not on his radar at all. That's not what he's responsible for in the business. But there were certain aspects where we go back and forth, especially with our web design clients. And he might need to set up a website. You know, like when we sign a new client, we set up a beta build site where I can start working on their website, for example. And he does that piece. So the other trigger I would say for this is not just a feeling of overwhelm, but if you are trying to juggle client management with more than one person and you want someone to be able to go into a system and say, have we ever worked with this person before? You know, like, or has this person ever purchased a product from us before? You know, like, what is the history of this particular client? And that gets to the other piece, which I am just starting to kind of dig into. And I think this is more of like an advanced way of using a CRM. Or maybe not, but it feels advanced to me, which is basically also hooking in your audience to the CRM. So I have input, like every person who's getting a newsletter from me is in my CRM because the newsletter is part of my sales funnel that eventually may get people to purchase a product, sign up for a coaching, you know, that kind of thing. And a CRM allows you to track over time how you've kind of worked with or sold to a particular client. And that's another piece that I think is interesting because you should be able to go into a CRM and say, how, you know, like if this is a repeat client, what are all the things that they have done to interact with my business? And I can go in and look at one particular person and say, well, they've subscribed to my newsletter, they've attended one of my webinars, they bought my course, and they've inquired about hiring me to speak. You know, like those, having that information mm-hmm. about one individual person is the other way that you can use a CRM. And that also allows anyone else in your business to be able to go in if you're trying to delegate any part of your business so that, like, maybe you don't handle the initial inquiries, for example. And Sarah, you and I are not in this boat. Like, we haven't hired like virtual assistants or anything to help us with this, but other people might. If you have that, then they could potentially go into your CRM and say, how do we know this person? And knowing right. the fact that they've been on your newsletter for a while or something like that could be valuable when you're interacting with them. So there's different ways to kind of think about it. And I think that kind of moves us into thinking about kind of relationship management more generally, because obviously you do that other than through a CRM. And I know that's you've focused a lot in kind of the more general realm, Sarah. So what does it mean to you to kind of manage relationships with your clients and with your audience?
Yeah, I think for me, it's been a little less systematized, partly out of just, you know, not reaching that tension point for me yet. But I think for me, there's a little bit of a difference, again, in how or even really the types of spaces that you and I are operating in terms of our businesses, which I think is an interesting thing to think about and to point out to our audience. So a lot of my online content, you know, either lives on YouTube or in other spaces that have less systematized data collection in terms of individual clients or individual consumers, people who are a part of the audience or whatever. So YouTube, for example, they will give you information on who has subscribed to you only if that person has said, yes, you can share that information with the people I subscribe to. Otherwise, it reduces everything to pretty general numbers. Now, that said, you can dig pretty far into your YouTube analytics to figure out who your people are. And so that has been a tool for me in terms of thinking about my audience and thinking about who you know, views my content and who finds my content and how. And so I use some YouTube analytics specifically to inform a little bit about how I approach my business, especially with respect to my online content on YouTube. But I think for me, there's more of the general, like, I don't have specific information on each and every individual who comes and sees my content or who, you know, interacts with me in some way. So I think of it much more generally. So in terms of what do I want the experience to be like for somebody? And though I certainly think I have room to grow in the area of that more individualized attention that I could give, Katie, in kind of the way that you talk about client management and client relationships, a lot of my focus is on that broader audience. And so for me, it's more focusing on how do I make this a good experience more globally, as opposed to that more individualized attention at this point. So I'm thinking much more about audience than about specific clients. Now, that said, I do have specific clients. And so for those people, it's again, sort of tracking where are we in this process? And for me, as I said in the systems conversation, those processes aren't as solidified. I haven't had a ton of repeat clients doing the same kinds of work yet. And so for me, each client is a little bit different and a little bit unique. And so the relationship part of that is kind of being built throughout the process and a little less systematized at this point. So I think that is definitely in my future. And again, as I said in that conversation, I think it's great to hear how you do things, because I think there's a lot that I can learn from in terms of how to start thinking about managing clients in a more systematized way. But those are some of the things that I think about a little bit in terms of how am I reaching my audience and how am I interacting with them. So, you know, things like replying to YouTube comments. I am really bad about doing that on a timely basis. So that's one of my goals for 2018, is to be much more responsive in that space. Same on Twitter, you know, being responsive when people do reach out on that sort of individual level is something that I'm continuing to work on, but don't have it systematized in the same way.
So what you're making me think about, Sarah, and of course, you know, we've talked before about how, you know, you and I approach things differently for our businesses, and also just because our businesses are different. So that makes sense.
Right.
But another thing that I kind of wonder about why I'm drawn to a CRM, because as you said, I'm certainly very excited about it, is I think it has a little bit to do with the fact that I struggle with emotional intelligence. And a CRM is a way for me to offload some of that work where, for example, like, I think it's really nice to do a 3-month follow-up with a coaching client to be like, how's it going? You know, like, you know, I'm thinking about you, you know, like those kinds of things. I would not do that if a CRM wasn't telling me to do it. You know, like I wouldn't think, and if I can sit down in one moment or, you know, sit down in like 15 minutes and say, what are the things that would really make a client feel special? Like sending them a thank you note, for example, or buying them a little client gift when they sign on to work with me or whatever, you know, like whatever it might be. What could I do? It is way more easy for me to plan that and build it into a system than off the cuff to be like, oh, I should really send so-and-so an email today to let them know I was thinking about them. Like, it's just not how my brain works. And I think that's part of the reason I like a CRM is because it's taking some of that, some of the things that I know I should be doing and that I know are going to help me kind of keep those relationships with clients warm. I can plan it in advance.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I think I'm kind of the maybe too far the other direction, which is that I sometimes feel like if it's a part of a system or a process that it will cause my voice to feel more rigid and cardboard, if that makes any sense.
So it's like the opposite.
It is. So for me, and it's not that I'm, you know, doing it necessarily off the cuff or that sort of thing, but it sort of permeates just how I think about people in general. So I'm kind of, like you said, like it's just a difference in approach to things. Like you said, if it wasn't on a list or if it wasn't a part of the system, I probably wouldn't do it. Whereas I'm like, if it's up on the list or part of the system, it's not going to feel authentic to me in the way that I maintain relationships with people in my audience or people that I interact with professionally. And, you know, that also means that sometimes I don't send those thank you notes or I don't, you know, I'm not as diligent about some of those things that as maybe I should be and as maybe that would help my business. So I think I probably default too far the other direction, but I definitely have this feeling like the more I systematize, especially when it comes to relationships, but the more I systematize things, the less like me it will feel. And that's kind of a tension point for me right now is figuring out where is that balance between developing systems, whether it's CRMs or other, that actually support me doing the work and don't hinder my sense of creativity or my sense of authenticity in my relationships with others or with clients or with my audience. And so that's been a really interesting balance for me to kind of be working through right now, especially as we've been talking about systems and CRMs.
That is super fascinating. Like I had not thought about that in that way. That is really interesting. Okay, so I'm curious, what are all the different ways that you are relating with clients? I mean, or potential clients is the other way to think about this. Because, I mean, I basically consider my brand to be a huge part of how I'm relating with people. And that comes out on social media. It comes out on my website. It comes out on my podcast. Like there's all these different ways that I could be relating with clients, and it's not even always in, you know, it's not always in real time. And I think about like people, there are some people who've come into a sales funnel for my business because they listen to my podcast. And so that's a form of like customer or client relations in some way for me, because I am engaging in a relationship with them, even if it's a little bit one-sided, because I may not know who they are until they reach out. But I'm curious if you have elements of your business that like, where are the different places that you feel like you're engaging with clients other than through like direct client services?
Yeah. And this, again, I think goes back to my understanding of client versus, I guess, audience is maybe the best word to use. But client to me feels like the people that I have very specific, you know, targeted to do things, whether that's like they've hired me to come in and do some online training modules, or they've hired me to go do a presentation. So client to me feels very specific to a particular type of work and a particular niche of work that I do. Whereas audience, I think, is much more broad for me. And weirdly, like, I think of the people in my audience as being inherently more complex than people in my client list, which I think I need to fix because every human is complex. But to me, I think the audience, you know, there are people who are listening to this podcast who may, you know, stumble on me from there and then realize that I do video and realize I do all these other things and may find some of that to be compelling, but may not find most of it to be compelling, may only listen to this podcast and not know me from anything else or whatever. And so I think about those touch points. And in terms of interaction, so through YouTube, I try to do that in comments, again, when I'm better at responding to them. But also, I have a Patreon page. So for those of you who are not familiar, Patreon is a service where creators who do online content of some variety, or art, or you know, they do video game streams or whatever. There's a variety of different kinds of content that you can create, but where it sort of bridges the gap between creators and the people who want to support creators. And so, you know, Patreon allows supporters to say, "Hey, Sarah, I'm going to kick you $1 a month because I really love your video content and I want to make sure that you get to keep doing it." Because let's be real, making videos on the internet is not always cheap. And so if you're not a big creator who doesn't get, you know, huge paychecks from YouTube through ad revenue, it's really hard to continue to grow your business in that way. And so Patreon provides me a way to connect with people who want to support my work directly, who find value in it and want to contribute cash, you know, who want to say, "Hey, I can kick you, you know, a coffee's worth of money this month to help you continue to create your thing." And so I found that kind of to be an interesting way to interact with portions of my audience as well. I'm not especially big on Patreon yet. I just launched it about 4 or 5 months ago. And so that's still a growing revenue stream for me. But it's been interesting to think about, how do I interact with people who are really committed to supporting the work that I do? That's what they care about, right? They care about the things that I'm creating, not so much about what it is that they get from me in return. So it's not necessarily as much about the perks or other things that they get from contributing that money, but it's more about, "I love seeing you create this stuff. You add value to the world. I want to contribute to helping you continue to make that work." And so that's been a really interesting thing to explore when I think about audience relationships and patron relationships, because the truth is, like, they're adding value to my life. They're making it possible for me to work with Tom, my producer, to make better content. And that's really valuable to me. And I want to emphasize that here, as well as in my interactions with my patrons on Patreon. So that's provided me another avenue for that. Otherwise, like, Twitter, I love Twitter. I've said that before. Twitter is a great place for me to engage professionally with people, and to also allow me to be kind of silly and ridiculous sometimes too, which is kind of that line that I try to walk. And so I enjoy Twitter for that kind of space as well, where I can be a little bit of both and interact with different people in different ways. And so I think that kind of interaction style really feeds my tendency to think of my audience as very, very different, because, as I said, people may discover me in different ways. And so I try to be sensitive to the fact that, like, not everybody who follows me on Twitter is going to want to know about early childhood education or whatever, but that's a slice of who I am. And so how do I engage in those spaces to communicate that complexity in a way that's interesting for people? So I don't know. That's kind of how I've been thinking about it lately, at least.
Okay. So I have a question. Do you think about your audience, like every single member of your audience, as a potential client?
Yes and no. I would say that I think about members of my audience who are slightly more engaged with my content as potential clients. So there's a lot of passive viewership, right? Like I'll have a couple hundred views on a video and I'm like, I don't know who these people are, but there might be a subset who comment or who reach out on Twitter or who, you know, share my content on Twitter or on other social media things. Those people I consider further along in the pipeline, right? That they could potentially be clients in some way. But the reality is also that my kind of client-centric business is pretty different than my online content side of things. Mm. So my clients tend to be, you know, organizations who are either looking for a speaker or who are looking to consult on a particular thing or who are nonprofits looking at doing video engagement kinds of things. And so I think of my business in developing online content and creating high quality online content, especially in the video realm, as a valuable pitch in the sense that somebody may stumble, and I've had this happen, somebody, you know, stumbles on my YouTube channel and is like, oh, you're great. I want you. Like, come to my, you know, come talk at this presentation, or please come work with our organization. You clearly have the skill set. And so I think of it definitely as a part of the funnel. And I think of, you know, that there are ways that clients might find me through that content. But in general, when I'm working in that online space, I'm thinking much more about the audience framework of like, I want to create stuff that has value and that people find interesting and good. And so I think it's a little bit of both. I think, yes, I do think of members of my audience as being potential clients, but I don't think of it as much about conversion, I guess. It's more about, I'm going to try to let the work speak for itself. And if you're interested, I'm open to talking. That's kind of always been my approach in the online spaces, at least.
Yeah, I think that conversion piece is the most awkward.
Yeah.
And challenging. For sure. Yeah, because you don't want to like oversell people who are just hanging around. But at the same time, it's like, why are you hanging around if you're not interested in some of the stuff I'm creating to sell you?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, I could go on for days about the internet, just like you could go on for days about CRMs, but just that I think it provides really unique opportunities for people to interact with each other and also to build businesses. Like you and I both operate in online spaces, but we operate in online spaces kind of really differently. And I think it's interesting hearing how you think about your, you know, online courses and your webinars and those sorts of things. And you know, I'm a little, I think, more on the like creative art form kind of side of the equation. But I think both have a lot of value in as elements towards building a business. But I think we use them in different ways, too, which I find fascinating.
OK, shall we shift into the resources section of our episode? OK, so I think my resource is going to be obvious, which is a content relations management system. Customer relations management system. And the one that I talked about today is called Capsule. There are other ones for sure. And I think that there are, you know, and you may be familiar with them if you work at an institution, like Salesforce is a big example of one. I mean, there's so many different examples. But the one that I am currently using, just to give you a sense of pricing, is I think $12 a month per person who is using it. So my partner and I are paying $24 a month for both of us to have access to this CRM. Mm-hmm. So it's about the same price monthly per individual as like Canva, MailChimp, you know, like any of these other things that you might be building into your business. And so far, for me at least, it's been worth every penny. There is an app that comes along with this particular one, which is okay. I feel like it doesn't sync as well as I would like because I do a lot of it at my computer. I'm not doing a lot of like updating of the CRM from my phone, but I've just taken to sitting at my computer and kind of working with it. But that would be my resource to kind of look into is, you know, dig around, look at some videos, see what people are doing in terms of recommending different CRMs and some tutorials and things like that. And just kind of experiment a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. I like it. Go forth and CRM or something.
Yes, exactly. All right. Do you have any resources for today, Sarah?
I don't think I have anything specific other than, you know, again, just kind of think about where you are and do some of that reflection about tension points and systems and you know, what's the best way forward for you? I'm a big proponent of reflection lately. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Well, thank you for balancing out my CRM bully nature on this episode, Sarah.
Hey, you know, I am probably going to be doing the CRM thing too at some point soon here, but it's good to hear all of the cool things that you can do with it and the value of it. So I really loved talking about CRMs and relationship management today. I thought we got kind of a whole big ball of, I don't know, interesting tips about relationships.
Well, we would also love to hear from our listeners if you are using a CRM or not, if you're doing other kinds of customer management, maybe things that we did not talk about here that you have questions about. Remember that you can always go to academicgig.com and shoot us an email to let us know if there are other topics or things you want us to cover on the show. But until the next episode, thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Academic Gig podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and heard something useful that you can apply in your own business. Show notes with links to resources mentioned in the episode and a full transcript are available at academicgig.com. There, you can also sign up for our email list and receive over 100 great resources for recommended books, blog posts, and podcasts for the academic creative, freelancer, and entrepreneur that you won't want to miss. You can connect with us on Twitter at @academicgig, or you can also find Sarah at Dr. Langworthy and Katie at Katie_Linder. We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation about this episode. There are several other ways to connect with the Academic Gig podcast. Visit the website to post a comment about a specific episode, suggest a future topic, or ask a question that could be featured on a future Q&A episode. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It helps us out and helps others find the show. And as always, thanks for listening.